You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend. And joining us today is a regular who has been on The Weekend before, and we try and have her on frequently, is Jennifer Tarani. Jennifer is a registered and licensed dietitian, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about organic food, organic produce, and some of the things that you see at the market, and perhaps they may be confusing to you. So Jennifer is going to try and clear that up for us. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us here again today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So as I mentioned, first of all, organic versus conventional. A lot of people, when they go to a market now or a store, sometimes it says organic, and they're not sure what to choose. And because, you know, sometimes organic is a lot more expensive than conventional food. So if you wouldn't mind kind of clearing that up for us a little bit.
Right, absolutely. So let's talk about what's the difference between organic and conventional produce first. So there are many differences beginning with the philosophy of organics. So the philosophy of organic farming is preservation of the cycle of life by utilizing food waste and manure to build back the soil for future food production. So basically, you're utilizing the food waste and minimizing that food waste in, so to speak, and utilizing it just to build back the soil. The primary goal of organic farming is to sustain ecological harmony and interdependence between soil, plants, animals, and humans. We are in an era of global warming where weather is getting really worse and worse every single year. So that's what organic farming to prevent global warming. So organic foods are grown using methods other than conventional methods, such as use of pesticides, fertilizers made with artificial ingredients, or sewage sludge, bioengineering, things like that. So in simpler words, organic foods are grown using methods that require natural pesticides, natural fertilizers. So they are not bombarded too much with artificial stuff. So that's the main difference between organic and conventional produce. But we'll talk a little bit about the nutrition a little later.
And so as far as what you're talking about, some people may say, well, when I grew up, my grandma and grandpa, that's the way we always did it. We just got it straight from the ground and to our table, and that's how we did it. So some people are saying, well, there's really not that much different, nothing new. That's the way we've always been doing it. Mm-hmm. But as you just mentioned, because I guess of the fact that, you know, there's a need to produce, mm-hmm. sometimes they have to add extra stuff mm-hmm. to make it, what's the word they use, a GMO, modified. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when they go to the store, they'll see something that's, my gosh, this grapefruit is huge. Mm-hmm. Why is it so big compared to the other one?
Right.
So what do you recommend when they go to the store as far as choosing between the two?
Right. So I will say this, that organic foods are not always superior in nutrition and taste versus conventional foods. So research studies don't support the fact that, or there is not enough evidence to support the fact that organic produce is more nutrient dense or tastes better. So the USDA makes no claims that the organic foods are more flavorful than conventional foods. However, it's a widely held assumption that organic produce is superior in nutrition to conventional produce. This assumption is extremely difficult to prove given the complexity of a study that could control all the variables, the soil quality, the condition, and all of that. So it's very difficult to do a lot of research to prove the fact that organic produce is more nutrient dense. The higher mineral content appears to be related to the use of organic fertilizers like compost or manure. So some studies have found that there is high mineral content in organic produce, but in trace amounts. So in that regards, I typically will tell my clients that if you're debating between organic and conventional produce, and for instance, if you only have $10 in your pocket, and if you can buy, let's say, a bunch of bananas, apples, oranges, kale, spinach, tomatoes, a lot of fruits and vegetables that are conventional with those $10, I would go for conventional and just wash my produce really thoroughly, because the pesticides are mainly on the outer side, the outer portion of the produce. So just wash your produce really well, just to make sure that you've removed the pesticides. But if you have, let's say, $50 to spend, and if it's within your budget, then I definitely would encourage clients to buy organic as much as possible. Again, if it's within your budget. So there is an environmental working group that has recently released a list. They call it Dirty Dozen list and Clean 15 list. So I can provide the link later, but you can go and access the Environmental Working Group, EWG, and on there you can just get the list. So this is a list that shows that Dirty Dozen is a list that shows the produce that have a lot of pesticides, and for example, strawberries. And the Clean 15 is something that you can buy conventional. So that would be another tool for our listeners to use when they're deciding whether to buy conventional or organic produce. Because let's say if you're trying to buy a banana, it doesn't really make sense to buy organic unless you have tasted it, you know, it's organic and you like the flavor and it's your personal preference, then by no means go buy organic. But in terms of like protecting the environment, the pesticides, you remove the skin and eat the banana. So there is no point in spending that extra money in buying organic. Instead, you use that money elsewhere to buy more fruits and vegetables.
So some people, and you addressed it a little bit here, what is the difference, or is there a difference in taste between organic and conventional?
So like I said, organic produce, it comes directly a lot of times from farmers markets, or it doesn't travel that long of a distance. So that's another thing you have to keep in mind. So if you're buying organic produce from farmers market versus from a big grocery store, there will be difference in taste, because from farmers market, it has traveled very minimum distance and you're getting it right after harvest. So the taste profile is going to be more dense and it's going to taste better versus if you were to buy from maybe like a large chain grocery store where they get organic produce from somewhere else. So it's also going to have to be a little bit of experimenting with both types of produce, the organic and conventional, to see which one you prefer. And like I said, at the end of the day, it all comes down to your grocery budget. So if you're in a very tight budget, then, you know, definitely eating the fruits and vegetables as fresh as you can, it's good. Versus trying to buy organic, which is more expensive, that you mentioned earlier, it is definitely more expensive. So in that regards, I don't recommend organic.
And you mentioned farmers market, and a lot of times that's buying local, so it helps the community as well. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that when you go to a farmers market, sometimes the person selling produce there will sometimes even slice it open and mm-hmm. let you taste it and right. let you look at it.
Right, definitely. So I think farmers markets are a really good option for healthy eating. Farmers markets offer organic and seasonal produce. So seasonal is another key word to keep in mind when you're trying to eat healthy. At a low cost, as well as other food products like local honey, they'll sometimes make nut butters, they'll make cheese, etc. So you're getting all local and you're supporting your local farmers. My favorite picks are honey and nut butters, you know, made with natural and organic ingredients without artificial ingredients in it. So I definitely prefer going to the farmer's market. And if I were to spend like a dollar extra at the farmer's market, I take it as if like, you know, I'm spending a good time at farmer's market and I'm supporting local farmers, and I'm totally okay with that. Farmer's market are a good way to teach healthy eating habits to kids. So I know my mom always took me to the farmer's market while growing up, which allowed me to learn about different fruits and vegetables and connect with the local farmers. A trip to the farmer's market always gives children an opportunity to pick new fruits, vegetables, which they are more likely to try since they chose to buy them. So like you said, even for your kids, they might pick a slice of mango if the farmer is willing to cut open a mango and try a slice right there. So it's kind of like a fun trip for your kids, and you teach your kids healthy eating habits since childhood so they don't face medical conditions like being overweight or obese or struggle with heart conditions and diabetes because they learn to eat healthy at a younger age.
And when you go to a farmer's market, as you mentioned, you can get honey, you can get nuts, and sometimes you can even get breads that are made fresh at home.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
You mentioned about cleaning the produce if it's not organic or if, you know, if they get home and they just dump everything in the fridge. How should they clean it? What do you need to put in the water? Just water, or do you need a bleach or...
Yeah, so you add a little bit amount of bleach. However, I exactly don't remember the amount of bleach at this right minute. But typically, even if you like wash with just water, it's totally okay. As long as you wash your produce really thoroughly. So, you know, wash it in running water. Make sure that you take a basket and kind of rub it so that you're washing your fruits and vegetables really well. Obviously, you have to make sure that you're buying produce from, like I said, a local grocery store or a farmer's market and make sure that there's nothing in it, you know. Lately, there have been a lot of recalls. For example, recently we heard about E. coli outbreak in lettuce. So things like that you always have to be looking out for. However, in terms of washing, just washing it thoroughly with tap water should be pretty good.
It's interesting that you mentioned one of the top fruits at the Dirty Dozen are strawberries. And a lot of people wouldn't think about that.
Right, because it's very thin skin. So that's why it's easy for the pesticides to go into the actual pulp of the fruit. That's why it's considered as one of the fruits that have been found to have more pesticides, especially the artificial pesticides. So another way to kind of prevent a food waste is to maybe buy fresh local produce and freeze it. So you can always freeze your strawberries, your raspberries, your blackberries, and things like that just for it to last longer. That way, even if you've spent that extra money and if the produce goes bad, you don't feel bad because you've frozen it and you can always use it in your smoothies and shakes and things like that at a later time, or when you make your oatmeal or anything like that. So I love freezing fruits and vegetables.
Is there anything, Jennifer, that they need to look at when they're at the grocery store as far as labels or any stickers that might be on the produce?
Right. So the produce typically will have like a aisle or in the grocery store, it says organic. So you don't have to look for something like that. You just kind of see it says organic and that's going to be organic produce. But when it comes down to processed foods like boxed products, you have to look for the USDA seal that says 100% organic.
And as far as reading labels, is there anything specific? Because a lot of times people will not read a label. They'll just look at it. And even, you know, in the summer heat, we go out and we drink a big thing of Gatorade. And then after we read the bottle, it says serves 3. And we just drank the whole bottle.
Right. So, yeah, that's something that in terms of reading labels, it's very important to read. The first thing is the sugar, added sugars in the label, and it's right underneath where it says carbohydrates, fiber, and then it'll say sugars. So there is a new label that's coming out. Some companies have already implemented, however, some are still in the process of implementing the new label. So the new label is going to have explicitly written on it added sugars. So because sometimes products like yogurt, it might have natural sugars like lactose. So it's very hard for our clients clients and listeners to differentiate whether this is added sugar, whether I'm supposed to avoid it, and things like that. So it's a little confusing. But if you ever see the two words that says added sugars, and if the sugars are like 20 grams per serving, and the serving size is always written on top. So the first thing they'll write is the number of servings, let's say 3 servings in a bottle of Powerade. And then underneath it, it'll say one serving is, let's say, half a bottle, 8 ounces. So if it says 20 grams of sugar for one serving, that's only for half a bottle. So let's say if you were to drink the whole bottle, you've right there and then consumed 40 grams of sugar. That is pure sugar that doesn't provide any nutrition to your body, but it doesn't provide you any fiber, any protein, any healthy fats. It's just like you're drinking sugar. So that's something I will definitely look out for. If you're trying to pick a product, try to see if the added sugars are less than 5 grams per serving or something like that. Total fats are something to watch out for as well, especially saturated fat and trans fat. Trans fat typically are 0. However, saturated fat can be higher. So limiting your intake of total fats to less than 5 grams per serving is also essential. However, in terms of fats, you can look into, you know, the healthy fats that the olive oil is going to have, which is mono and polyunsaturated fatty acids. So if you see that, and then if the total fat says 10 grams, that's okay, because a lot of your fat is not coming from saturated fat. It's coming from the healthy poly and monounsaturated fatty acids that your brain and your heart needs. So you need healthy omega-3 fatty acids for your heart health.
Would avocados fall into that?
Yes, absolutely. So avocados are a great source of omega-3 fatty acids. So is salmon, fish, tuna, ground flaxseed, walnuts. These are all great sources of omega-3 fatty acids. And research suggests, and it's a recommendation for people to eat fatty fish at least 2 to 3 times per week.
So the scare that some people have had to eat fat-free things, fat-free this, it's not absolutely correct. We do need some kind of fat.
Absolutely. So when I talk to my clients about yogurt, especially because it has a health halo, so I tell patients to look for Greek yogurt, because Greek yogurt is typically high in protein. It contains up to 13 grams of protein. So protein and some fat. So low fat is pretty good. You could do low fat Greek yogurt with no sugar added, because then it's going to provide you the carbs that you need from the natural sugars present in yogurt. It's going to provide you protein and healthy fat that you need to keep you fuller for a longer time. And it's very important for you to feel fuller for a longer time to prevent any carbohydrate cravings.
Sometimes, you know, as you mentioned, the carbohydrate cravings, people will skip meals, because
right.
They'll say, well, you know, I didn't have breakfast and I didn't have lunch, I'm going to have a big dinner, or switch around.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned before, I think it was right before the holidays, you had mentioned that that's not a good thing to do. They should eat 3 square meals, or if you're diabetic, I guess eat smaller meals.
Right. Absolutely. So number one myth is I'll skip meals and then I'll try to lose weight because I'm decreasing the amount of calories I'm consuming, but it's not sustainable. Number two, it makes your metabolism sluggish because your brain thinks that you don't have enough access to food. So it starts storing more energy as fat, leading to more weight gain instead of weight loss. And then number three, it leads you to do more grazing and eat smaller, let's say snacking, which is in combination lead you to eat same amount of calories that you were trying to prevent eating by skipping a meal. So my recommendation typically to my clients is for them to eat more balanced meals. So it's very, very important for them to include protein, non-starchy vegetables like broccoli, kale, cauliflower, mushrooms, onions, tomatoes, cucumbers, carrots, all of these, as well as some smaller portions of complex carbohydrates, which contain fiber, something like quinoa, brown rice, 100% whole wheat bread. So a balanced meal will keep you fuller for longer. So eating three structured meals is going to prevent the carbohydrate and the high sugar cravings, prevent you from reaching out to cookies and chips just to fill that gap in nourishment. And then if you do feel hungry for a few snacks, you can always incorporate one or two mid-morning and mid-evening snack just to keep your blood sugars stable. So a few healthy snacks could include edamame peas because they are high in protein, Greek yogurt, hummus with carrots, or turkey slices, low-sodium turkey slices, or boiled eggs, or an avocado toast. Anything like that could be a great snack instead of the cookies and the chips.
As we were kind of discussing before the program started, the fact that, you know, with the summer heat, a lot of people change their eating habits. Some people don't eat very much because it's too hot, and then other people will overindulge with sodas or ice creams, yogurts, because it's summer and it's good.
Right. Absolutely. So I think grilling is a great idea during summer, because grilling vegetables and meats and things like that, it provides delicious meals, and it's a good way to eat healthy and utilize your local produce. It's also the time when people typically travel. So let me talk a little bit about travel, and then I'll talk about dive a little deeper into grilling during summer. So it is important to focus on eating healthy and intuitively while traveling. A great idea is to carry like tea packets, homemade trail mix. My favorite is like chili lime roasted sunflower seeds, cashews and almonds. And you can make your own trail mix like that to provide the healthy fats, the fiber and protein. Protein bars are a great way when you're traveling to provide you with the recommended amount of protein that you need. Especially because when you're traveling, your meals are unpredictable. So having these healthy snacks on hand, which mimic your actual balanced meal, is a good idea. That will prevent you from stopping at a gas station and grabbing a can of soda or grabbing, like, let's say, unhealthy chips or anything like that if you've packed. Packing nutrient-dense snacks will also help prevent overeating, as you're not starving when you hit a restaurant. So that's my one strategy that I always use, is pack nutrient-dense snacks so that I don't go to a restaurant starving and then eat whatever and everything that comes my way. Another issue while traveling is dehydration. So as we know, we are not allowed to carry water through security at the airport. And by the time our air hostess offers us water, we are already very dehydrated. So a few signs to look out for during summer for dehydration is fatigue, dry lips, dry mouth, headaches, dizziness. Therefore, it's important to keep an empty bottle with you to ensure you can fill it and maybe flavor it with something like Mio drops, M-I-O, Mio drops, or Crystal Light if you do not like plain water. This will also prevent headaches, dizziness, and fatigue while traveling. So summer is also time when we have family gatherings. And so chances are we end up overeating when we have family gatherings, like you mentioned, ice creams and popsicles and other things, unhealthy snacks. So eating mindfully and checking with your hunger and satisfaction cues is essential to prevent overeating. So it's very important for you to keep checking with yourself, like, am I hungry? Am I eating just because it's available? Can I do something else instead of eating? Can I have a good conversation with a friend or family member that I haven't seen for a long time and things like that? Can I enjoy the music that's being played? Can I play with the children? Something else besides eating. Another way to prevent overeating is to use small bites and multiple chews. So you can just take small bites and chew many times just to make sure that you feel that satisfaction and you're not starving. Another way to prevent overeating at family gatherings is to not go to a gathering starving. So if you go to a gathering starving, you're going to feel uncomfortable and you're going to want to eat right away and you may end up overeating. So grabbing a little snack like apple with peanut butter right before you're going to a gathering will keep you full for at least an hour until everyone else is ready to eat or until you are ready to really enjoy the meals mindfully and not indulging in the meals. Because if you overeat, you will start feeling lethargic afterwards and, you know, you won't be able to enjoy everyone's company because you're going to want to eat more food and feel lethargic and it's just very unpleasant.
Now, as far as like eating ice cream or yogurt, a lot of these places will say fat-free and no sugar added. Mm-hmm. Is that good for, say, a diabetic?
So that's a really good question, but I typically won't be able to answer that question in more general terms because it's very dependent on what the client or what the patient's diabetes levels are. You know, so that's a question I'm not very comfortable answering because I don't have the medical history. But what I can say is if you're trying to enjoy something like carbohydrates or something like ice cream, it's important to make sure that you're eating balanced meals throughout the day. That way you haven't overeaten the amount of carbohydrates.
And it's okay for someone to have a little bit of ice cream just to taste it, not to indulge and have a big, like half a pint or whatever.
Right. Absolutely. Portion size is very important. It's a great tool. So definitely enjoying treats here and there during summer is absolutely okay. But like I said, I would definitely recommend to be in touch with your dietitian, in touch with your endocrinologist, just to make sure that your blood sugars are not running very high. And then you make wise decisions based on that. So treating yourself once in a while, that's definitely okay. Just be mindful of the portion sizes.
Now, as far as what you mentioned earlier about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, is there a particular website they should mm-hmm. go to, or do they just Google that?
So the website URL, I don't remember on top of my head, but if they Google Environmental Protection Group, they'll be able to get the list because it's kind of like a pop-up that comes on the website. So as soon as you click on the website, the pop-up will come up saying get your Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list. So I believe you just have to put your email address and they'll send it to you in your email box.
And Jennifer, what is the website that you have, your personal website, if people have questions?
So my personal website is Archaic Nutrition and Lifestyle. And there is a contact page where people can always reach out to me if they would like to contact me. I do have Facebook page and Instagram page as well, and they are both Archaic Nutrition and Lifestyle. So they can always pop into my Facebook page, like it, ask me questions, whatever else they need.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today.
You're most welcome. My pleasure.
We've been visiting with Jennifer Tharani. Jennifer is a registered and licensed dietitian. And again, if you want further information about what Jennifer was talking about, you can go to her webpage, Facebook page, or Instagram. Thank you again for being with us.
You're most welcome.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.